Well, happy Thursday. Hope you have had a wonderful week thus far. And now looking towards the tail end of the week and into the weekend, and so many things going on in our beautiful capital region. Hope you find something to enjoy coming up in the next couple days. And if we're looking a little bit beyond that, we have something that you might want to consider. More on that to come, but you're listening to Perspectives on WFSU-FM. I'm Tom Flanagan, and you are always invited to be part of the proceedings at 414-1234. That's our local number. If it's long distance from you to us, because we are out there on the World Wide Web, as well as having one of the largest radio signals in the entire state of Florida, the number is 800-926-8809. If email is your preferred mode of contact, it's perspectives@wfsu.org, and you can tweet us as well at WFSU Perspective. Hey, there's a chance you might remember, if you are of a certain demographic, a particular hit record by a guy named Alice Cooper way back in 1972, when he was considered edgy and out there and scandalous and all that, and now he's just an old retired rocker, right? But that song that came out in 72 was called School's Out for Summer, and if you remember it, it celebrated the last day of class at the instant the final bell rang, and that promise of endless fun and freedom for an entire 3 months, which was endless back in the day. But, you know, for far too many kids, that bell also signals the beginning of 3 months of hunger, because for the past several years, we have had an organization that's been out trying to ameliorate that situation somewhat. A group of dedicated volunteers in Tallahassee helping meet that need for the past 4 years through something called the Full Summer Initiative, and that's what we're going to be talking about here this morning on Perspectives. So let's go around the table and meet our panel, and then you can get in on the conversation too. From my left, your right on the radio, we welcome back Laurie Messer, adjunct history instructor at Tallahassee Community College and member of St. John's Episcopal Church, and one of the prime drivers of this whole thing for lo these many years. Good to see you again, Laurie.
Thanks. Appreciate it, Tom.
Okay, right next to you, a gentleman who is no stranger to most of us, Jim Croteau, interim CEO of America's Second Harvest of the Big Bend. And Jim, when are you going to drop that interim, huh?
We're negotiating that.
It is so wonderful to have you on and provide your perspective on this, too. Right next door to Jim is Becky Liner, Executive Vice President of the James Madison Institute and member of First Baptist Church in wonderful downtown Tallahassee. Hey, Becky, good to see you again.
Thanks, Tom. Thanks for having us back.
And new to these microphones, Tracy Ippolito, Project Manager and Public Information Coordinator at the Florida State University Center for Ocean Atmospheric Predictions Studies, and a very, very busy gal indeed. Good to see you, Trace.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Let's do the overview, if you could. Jim Croteau, I'll defer to you on this one here. Whenever it comes to the topic of hunger in our area, you seem to be the guy with the facts and the figures. And for many of us, I think, well, gee, just, you know, okay, kids are going to be away from school for a couple months. I mean, they can find something to eat. But for too many households, this is not a good time.
Well, the most recent study that was done by Feeding America looked at Leon County as a whole, and one in five individuals are at risk for hunger. And that means they don't know where their next meal is coming from, whether they have enough money or they have transportation to go pick it up, or how they could find the food, adequate food for their evening meal or their weekend meal. Now, that translates into one in four children who are at risk in households where they're not sure if they come home from school on Friday whether they're going to eat over the weekend and where that's going to come from. So the need in this community is very, very significant. And as you mentioned in the intro, the school district does a wonderful job with the breakfast program and school lunches, very healthy meals, which make a difference. But many of those kids go home without knowing what they're going to get for an evening meal. And we provide school backpacks in association with a number of schools in the region. 800 kids are able to receive bags of food to take home on the weekend who are most at risk. But we could easily double or triple the number if we had the resources to support that. So this program really adds to our capacity to provide some additional food to kids at risk in the summer and over the weekends.
Laurie Messer, for the benefit of those folks who maybe didn't catch our previous three programs that we've done on Full Summer here over the years on these airwaves, how did this whole thing get started?
You know, it is if I have to go back, I'll have to say in 2011, I went to a meal assembly event at Gabby High School, and I left and went, oh, it was so much fun, because sometimes you volunteer for things and they're not fun. They're good, but they're not fun. And so I kept waiting for it to happen again. And when it became apparent that it was going to be a one-time thing, I got in touch with Scott Bonnell, who had originally done it at Gabby, and I said, would you be willing to help me coordinate something? I want to put it before my church. And St. John's Episcopal Church, I owe them a debt of thanks, because it's kind of crazy to go to somebody and say, would you please be willing to host and sponsor an event to have 200 people come and assemble meals and raise $10,000? And they took a leap of faith with me. And that leap of faith also involved getting in touch with a dear friend of mine named Mae Walker, who is a member of First Baptist Church. And she came to introduce me to her new pastor, Dr. Scheel. And I'm explaining what I want to do. And Dr. Scheel is looking at me, not like I'm crazy, but like I know something about this. And Becky Liner had come to him with the exact same idea. She had experienced it, I think, in Chicago on a youth trip. And we got together, and that first year, it was great. Tracy Ippolito, early on, even before I got in touch with Becky, she's a great graphic artist. And she put together these wonderful posters with these little kids with these great graphics. And we had originally, that first year, wanted to do it in March. I wanted to do it while school was in session, and church said, no, we can only do it first weekend in June. And that's when I discovered, because I didn't know, that there was a need during the summer. And so we decided to call it a full summer, because a lot of people think of summer as, you know, a full summer is I'm going to the beach, I'm going to camp. But for children who are hungry, I think it's kind of a double meaning that it's a way for them to be fed and be full. So that's pretty much how it started. And it's just grown from there. I just think so many things happened that weren't planned. And now we don't have any problem with people coming forward. We can use some more, but we have a great group of volunteers.
Well, we'll let folks know how they can plug into the initiative, too, here in just a few moments. But Becky Liner, with the involvement here of First Baptist Church, of course, you've had some changes down there as well.
Yes.
So, but you're continuing, you're pushing forward with this thing this year, right?
Oh, we absolutely are, Tom. Our entire congregation feels really strongly the call to serve our community. And, you know, Dr. Scheel was just one in a line of pastors that we've had and that have pushed our congregants to take our faith outside the walls. And, you know, I know I speak for First Baptist, but also for St. John's and really for all the volunteers. It's a terrible thing to consider a hungry child. And all of us have been blessed enough to, or I would say most of us, to not have to worry about whether or not we can feed our own children. But I think there's a community here in Tallahassee that we consider all the children in this community to be our children. And we've certainly seen that through our volunteers. They want to help take care of this community's children.
Well, I know year after year you see literally hundreds of people coming out to help out with this thing. It was over at Rickards last year,
yeah.
And that entire cafeteria area was just chock full of, I don't know, what, 250, 300 people?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, a big shout out to the Leon County school system as well. They have been so supportive of this. We were at Rickards last year. This year we're going to be at Godby. And Principal Shelley Bell has been fabulous to work with. And we found last year the students were among the most joyful volunteers. We had football players who came on Friday and helped us unload the big semi full of pallets of the rice and the beans. And we had the ROTC group, who were fabulous, and they helped all afternoon in setting up the room for the assembly lines for the next morning. And those high school kids were among our best volunteers, and so we're excited to have Gabby working with us this year. But thanks again to Superintendent Pons and all the folks at Leon County Schools.
Well, Tracy Ippolito, Laurie Messer gave you a shout-out very nicely just a few moments ago on your graphic skills here, and I am holding – and I'm sure you guys can see this, right? A full summer poster, a community event to help feed local kids during the summer months, and just beautiful, beautiful little whimsical, the kids and the food and all that thing. How long have you been in graphics?
Oh, goodness, I've been doing that for longer than I'd like to say, 20 or so years. And that's about as long as Lori and I have known each other. And she's the one who, when she brought this up, you know, the one thing that, well, we share a lot of things, but we share a commitment to service. And so when she brought this up, I was all in, and I was real excited to help, so.
Well, that is certainly another way of getting out the message about what's going to be going on. By the way, we haven't mentioned the date. It is Saturday, June 4th at Godby when this is going on. And Laurie, before we go any further, for the benefit of folks just tuning in, think, boy, that sounds like something I could do. Just take a couple hours there on a Saturday and come on out and help pack beans and rice and other non-perishable staples. How do they find out more about it and sign up?
If they'll go to www.afullsummer.org, you can register online, and you'll get right into the database. And not only if you register online, we always let veteran volunteers know ahead of time the next year, so you'll know ahead of time to sign up, because it is a fun event. So all proceeds what we raise to buy the food. Anything in excess of that, we send a check directly to Second Harvest of the Big Bend so that they can go and buy more food. So every year we've raised over our goal. So whether or not you can volunteer to work that day, if you can't, please consider a donation. I've been getting a lot of donations this year, which has made me very happy. For $5, I'll go to the church sometimes and there'll be somebody that's put a dollar in an envelope. No donation is too small, so we appreciate anything.
Yeah, and we're not talking retail investment for this food here. A dollar donated to this program buys a lot of stuff.
It buys four meals, so it averages 25 cents a meal. So yes, it your dollar goes a long way, and those dollars that we raise over and above, Second Harvest can make those dollars go a lot further than. If you don't, which we love that if you donate a can of food, which all of our volunteers, we have a food drive that day as well. We'll send out a list of the food that's needed. There's, I think, 7 superfoods, and they bring it in. But Second Harvest can take the money and make it go a lot further. So that's why it's great we can donate more.
Feeding Hungry Kids this summer, a full summer program here, talking about it on WFSU-FM's Perspectives. 414-1234 is our local number in the greater capital region, 800-926-8809 long distance. And you can email us, perspectives@wfsu.org. More to come in just a moment. Well, at this hour of the day, many of us are wondering, gee, where do you want to go for lunch? You know, there are so many new and exciting eateries in this neck of the woods, some of which have opened just within the past couple of 3 months. And you debate with your coworkers or your friends, what are some options? And then you go and you scan the menu and, oh, that looks good. Did you ever try any of their? Yes, I did a couple weeks. That was really good. Why don't we get some of that? We take this for granted. That we're going to go somewhere, we're going to get something to eat, and we're going to be nicely satisfied at the end of that meal. And it is just something that happens without our even thinking of it. But if you could put yourself in the mindset of not having any options on where to go for lunch or what to have for lunch, because there literally is nothing available for lunch, that is something that I think is very difficult for many of us to internalize, to experience. Jim Croteau, we were talking about this out in the hall before we got in here, that just within a few yards of the major thoroughfares in Tallahassee, there are some neighborhoods, there are some areas where that whole question of what are we going to eat becomes literally a very terrifying question.
And the access to food is a challenge to some folks who have limited transportation, or if mom's working 6 days a week, 10 hours a day, and grandma's taking care of the kids, how is she going to get out and get healthy food for the children rather than just the convenience store food? So those are the kinds of issues we try and meet in our summer hunger programs. We actually have a bus that goes out, and each of the kids on the bus will be getting part of the product that's produced as part of the full summer. And we take it to several spots around the county. This year we're adding the Fort Braden Library as one of the spots. A couple of days a week we'll make three or four stops a day, and it's like a little diner on wheels. We'll provide a hot meal to the kids and some snacks to take home and some additional food for them to have in the evenings and the weekends. We also work with our 60-plus partners here in Leon County to make additional food available to the food pantries over the summer because they get an increased demand as families are running short, and particularly at the end of the month, you know, as food stamp options are limited nowadays and the work requirements and other kinds of things. We're losing people off the rolls from the SNAP program. And this is increased demand to many of our nonprofits and church-based, faith-based groups that are providing food in their pantries. So we're looking to provide them additional resources as well to meet that need. This whole summer feeding initiative is a major one of Second Harvest of the Big Bend. We've cooperated with the Democrat to have a little flyer and try and bring the notice to folks, and hopefully we'll follow with some articles that describe the situation. People don't realize that, like the recent Atlas report, you know, over 20% of the population lives in poverty in Leon County. It's higher than the state average, and most people don't understand the disparity in resources that we have. So those of us who have really have an obligation to give back to those who don't. And the most basic of needs, food, housing, are the kinds of things that should be right on the front part of our table as we think about how we're going to give back.
Not wanting to be a devil's advocate, but Laurie Messer, I'm talking to some other folks not too terribly long ago. We got into a discussion of the imperative of a community, whether through government or private enterprise or whatever else, to meet some of these unmet needs, which include such things as community hunger programs. And my acquaintance was saying, yeah, but, you know, it's just – but you encourage folks if you give them – as he called them gifts, whether it's food or cash assistance or anything else. It encourages dependence and prolongs poverty. And what you need to do is tough love. Cut these folks off, and then they'll be compelled to find work and better their station in life and all that kind of thing. So how do you talk to someone who has that kind of attitude towards this?
Well, first of all, I do think we're called to help those who are in need. And I would much rather help someone who truly is in need, because there's always going to be that at the risk of helping someone who might just come and not really need it. But a full summer, I think, is perfect in a way. It's because those who need it, we don't restrict who can volunteer. You can be a recipient of this food and be on those assembly lines making meals. So I think it's a joyful way to help your community. And why restrict the joy to just the people who can go home and feed themselves at night? So, you know, my opinion is, this is my opinion, there's always those among us who are going to need help. And it is our responsibility, that blessed to be a blessing. I think it's our responsibility to help those in need. And if somebody else is not doing it, then I think it's your responsibility personally to try to figure out a way to help, and that's what a full summer's about.
And my response is a little more specific. I think we have to understand that kids who don't receive food in the evenings or on weekends come to school unprepared to learn, and it's a struggle for them to stay focused and not act out. And we find the teachers reporting back to us, those kids who are given additional food, their behavior increases, their on-task work effort increases. It makes a difference. That likewise, if you're looking for a job and you're not healthy because you're not eating properly, you're not getting good food, you're not going to have the energy to do that kind of thing. And if you have a job, you're working for $8 an hour at McDonald's or someplace, and you're not getting a decent of meals, then you're not going to be healthy. You're not going to show up at work some days. Your job's going to be at risk. So this is part of a larger support system. Almost 50% of the people who receive food through our efforts at Second Harvest are the working poor. They're people making $10 an hour or less, or they're seniors on fixed retirement incomes, mainly Social Security. So when half of the people are trying to make it or have tried and are now retired, we're not giving a hand out, but we're trying to give a hand up to help them stay out of the hospital, to help them stay off of other programs that support dependency.
Becky Leonard, Jim just talked about what's in it for the folks who are the recipients of those things, but there's also something in it for people who get involved in this, not just the folks who maybe will be getting some food, but they're helping to pack the food during full summer. What does it mean to, like, your congregation there at First Baptist when you do these kinds of things?
Oh, my gosh. Well, Tom, and I know you're so good about coming out and seeing it yourself. And Lori mentioned the word joy. It is such a joyful project. And Lori also mentioned our veteran volunteers. If you volunteer for this once, chances are you're going to come back again and again and again. It is one of those things that just makes you feel happy. It makes you feel good. You feel like you've made a contribution to your community, but you've had a really good time while you're doing it. But I think more importantly, I keep hitting this point, these are our community's children. These children belong to all of us. And our community is only as strong as our weakest citizens. And, children through no fault of their own are born into a variety of circumstances. Those of us sitting around this table, we've been able to raise our children and educate our children and feed our children. But there are many innocent children in this community and around this nation that through no fault of their own, their parents cannot feed them. And as a mother, I find that appalling. I can't imagine anything worse than looking at my child and knowing that they're hungry and not being able to do anything about that. And I think a lot of the people that volunteer with us are moms and dads and grandmas and grandpas and aunts and uncles who feel the same way. And they don't want any child to be hungry.
Okay. When you first got involved in this, talking to Laurie and Becky and all the folks, Tracy, what really struck you about the program? You talked about how excited you were when you first heard about it. But, as far as that deep down inside, what does that mean to you?
Well, I think a full summer means a few things to me. First of all, it's a wonderful opportunity for people to come together who may or may not come together otherwise. I mean, we do see lots of groups come together from houses of worship, and we see coworkers come together as teams from their offices. But we also see individuals like myself who are just members of the community and just looking for opportunities to do something here in Tallahassee that benefits the people in our area and our surrounding area. So that's one of the things I loved about it, was that it didn't require that you be affiliated with anything. It just required you want to serve. The other thing, and this is that, I myself, my own life experience has included, and particularly in childhood, some times of struggle, and I benefited from the kindness and the compassion of people, and that helped me become the person that I am who does not have to worry about feeding my own children. And so, I wanted to give back and do the sort of things that I benefited from as a child.
We're talking about the full summer program here on WFSU-FM's Perspectives, and you're always invited to be part of the action at 414-1234, 800-926-8809, or perspectives@wfsu.org. And a reminder, too, you can always find the program online at wfsu.org. Just go to that website, click on radio, pull down the programs menu, click Perspectives. Boom, you're right there. Wait a couple, 3 hours, though, if you could, please. We archive past shows here, usually within 3-4 hours, actually, after the program airs on the radio. But then we'll be up in perpetuity. And to all of our folks around this table, you can go and listen to yourself on the radio, sort of, kind of. So Something that just strikes me, and you mentioned this, Laurie Messer, a few moments ago, the joy and the just frenetic activity, but in a good way, that takes place during a full summer get-together. And the music plays and the DJ rocks it out and people are racing around and dancing and having fun. It is really a form of controlled chaos, though. You are putting together how many thousands of meals in the course of that couple of hours that you're together?
We'll put together 60,000 meals, and there are 250 actual workers, but we have to have support. And a shout-out to Boys Town and Godby High School students and students from past high schools who have helped us, because it is fun assembling those meals, but they've got to go and replenish bins and just work really hard and really fast. And it is. It's controlled chaos, but it is a joyful, fun room. And I always say it's you're doing good while having a good time. So, it's fun.
Yeah,
but it takes a lot of organization.
Boy, it does. But the other thing, too, you see the fruits of your labors instantly. That's the thing, is you're prepackaging all of those staples into a meal pack and getting them off on down the line. You can just say, I did that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it is. And like Becky said, you go there and you feel like you're making a difference in your community. Plus, you're looking around a room. You don't have mean people who volunteer to do things like this. Everyone is a good person. They're having a good time, and they're doing something good for their community. And it's one of the things I love about Tallahassee. It's my hometown. We left for a while but came back, and it's even better than it was before I left. It's a wonderful place with wonderful people.
Well, Jim Croteau, you've been around the block so many times in a number of organizations here in this community. Very few people did not know, if not you personally, do not know of you. But was it surprising to you when you got the interim CEO position at Second Harvest at the Big Bend to see just how deep the need is?
Well, I had worked at Elder Care Services and had dealt with senior issues. We delivered Meals on Wheels and in-home services. So I was familiar with a large part of the retired population and those who are disabled. But to see the expanse of the children's needs was something that was new to me. What people don't realize, Second Harvest Food Bank will provide an average of 400,000 meals a month to our 11-county region, working with over 100 partners. 60,000 meals is very important and helps us through the summertime, which is a critical time because our donations drop during the summer. People are busy and distracted, so they don't write the checks and they don't bring the canned food. We have some drives like the postal workers drive this Saturday. That'll bring in 60 to 80,000 pounds of food. But when you add all that together, it doesn't make a month's worth of groceries. So we are constantly looking, working with bringing food from the retailers that surplus there, trying to recover food from the farmers that we can bring in produce. And it's a challenge over the summer to do all of those things.
Okay, 400,000 meals a month. That is more than the entire population of the Tallahassee metropolitan area.
Well, we estimate that in the 11-county region, there's over 100,000 people who are at risk for hunger. Our agencies reach close to 50,000 people a month throughout the region. But here in Leon County, there are 12,000 kids that have been identified as at risk for hunger. And those are the ones that we're primarily trying to target during the summer from all our programs.
Becky Liner, if I can ask, is there still room within this entire effort for, you know, other faith communities, nonprofit organizations, employee groups in the private sector to plug into all this?
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, Tom, one thing that we've seen develop just in the past few years is a real creativity. People put their own groups of 10 together, a table team is 10. And we have not only seen businesses and offices put together a team, and they may wear matching T-shirts and bandanas, and we have the Mean Green Machine, and they give themselves names. Last year we had a group that came to celebrate someone's birthday. It was a group of ladies that's what one of them wanted to do for her birthday. And shout out to my Tallahassee Auburn family. The Tallahassee Auburn Club is putting together an Auburn team this year, so there's a challenge there to some other sports teams here. They're faithful if they want to put together a team and wear their team colors. And so there's this huge spirit of camaraderie, and there's still room. There's still room for people who want to participate. And, you know, we kind of have a number in mind that we need. We're limited only by the space there in the Godby cafeteria. But we would love to have more people come out. It is not limited to houses of faith at all. We consider this a community effort. And, you know, as Tracy mentioned, you don't even have to sign up with a team. If you're, you know, if you're just somebody listening to this show right now and you go, that sounds awesome, I want to be involved in that, let us know and we will put you on a really fun team. We have a DJ that comes out that day, and there is music, and there's lots of competitiveness between the teams. And when a team finishes packing a box, you'll hear this huge cheer go out from their team, which seems to then motivate the other teams to pack faster. And so there's a spirit of competition, but in a healthy, positive way. And it is a thing of beauty to behold that morning. It really is.
Well, I like that. Instead of birthday cake and mimosas, just, you know, head on out and help out with the full summer packing detail. And what a great
way. The birthday girl had on a crown and everything.
414-1234 for perspectives, talking about the full summer initiative that is rapidly bearing down on us. It takes place Saturday, June 4th at Godby High School out there on West Thorpe Street. And you're invited to log your comments and questions here to our inspired panel of experts on the food situation in Tallahassee and Leon County. We'll be right back right here on Perspectives. Back on Perspectives, and we're talking about a full summer of the program to put some 60,000 meals in the hands of low-income households throughout this area that are packed by volunteers who get together for a couple hours on a Saturday and just rock it and roll it and crank that stuff out. Let's hook up with George here on line one, who joins us on Perspectives. And counting down your days of employment, are we not, George?
Yes, almost a little over three and a half months now. I just wanted to know from Jim, and I used to enjoy the lunch that Elder Care Services used to do at Christmas time. I missed that. I just wanted to know how the Second Harvest Food Bank is doing. I know they had some problems last year, and hopefully they got them squared away and are fully operational.
Yes, George, thanks for the question. We have moved along to a new facility that's increased our capacity, both for produce and frozen food, as well as dry storage. We've dealt with all the issues that we had in terms of food safety. So we just recently had an AIB food safety inspection and scored a 900 out of 1,000, and we're real proud of that. We're back financially on a strong footing and got a great staff. And as I said, we're on target to do over 6 million pounds of food this year distributed to our partner agencies. And we're trying to do some new initiatives as well with seniors as well as kids and constantly writing grants to get the support. But as we mentioned earlier, a $100 donation to Second Harvest gets 400 meals that we're able to acquire and deliver. So the impact from the community, from food and funds, really makes a difference.
George, thank you so much, and we'll be coming to the retirement party. You just get the invitations out. We'll be there, okay?
There won't be one, Tom.
Always great to hear from you, George. Thanks for the call. That is what amazes me, though, Jim, and also you, Laurie, when we talk about the amount of investment and what that leverages in terms of additional food. You cannot get a commercially produced meal anywhere for a quarter. It just does not happen. How does that happen in your context, Jim? How can you do so much with so little?
Well, we get donations from the local retailers, and that has to be picked up, inspected, and sorted, organized, and then delivered to our agencies. So the product doesn't cost us anything. The cost is actually in the processing of it. So that helps. We also have food that comes through the Emergency Food Program through the U.S. Department of Agriculture. We also participate with the food produce program with Feeding Florida, the state association of food banks. And then we get donations from individuals. When you combine all of those resources and our ability to go out in the wholesale market and pick up surplus foods that are available from the major producers, we're able to average four meals for a dollar in what we're able to acquire. It's a big operation. People who come to visit us don't – I mean, my wife, the first time she came, she could not believe how large the scope is of what we have and how big the facility is. So we invite people to come and volunteer. Every third Saturday, we have a family day where people can come and volunteer but also get a feeling for what we're about. And again, we make a significant difference not just here in Leon County but throughout the Big Bend region.
I was thinking of you the last time I was out on I-10 heading towards Jacksonville. And in Duval County, of course, you have two major retail grocery distribution centers, Winn-Dixie's and Publix's, right there off of I-10. And I thought immediately a Second Harvest of the Big Bend, thinking, not quite as big as these guys, but pretty darn close. You have a cavernous facility out there by the airport.
Yeah, it's 40,000 square feet. We run four or five trucks a day delivering throughout the region. We cover 2,000 square miles in the Big Bend area, so our service area is really significant, and as well as our fuel bill.
I can imagine there. And Laurie Messer, where does the food come from that a full summer program has? Because you guys have trucks that pull up, and you got all this food in there. Where does that originate?
It originates from a nonprofit called Outreach Incorporated, based in Union, Iowa. I got in touch with them through Scott Bonnell. And after the first year in 2013 when we did this, Floyd and Kathy Hammer from Outreach came to our first event. And so about a month after our first event, I'm watching the CBS Evening News. And there is Floyd and Kathy Hammer, who had just been at the first event the month before, receiving the 5,000th Point of Light Award from Presidents George H.W. Bush and President Barack Obama. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, they were just here. I have a picture of them. So it all of these things that happened from the fact that the churches believed in us and I met Becky and Tracy to the Hammers to just – it's just been a real wonderful experience for not only I'm hopeful for the community, but for me, it gives me a lot of joy all through the year. Okay. And I can speak for Becky and Tracy, mm-hmm. too.
Well, Tracy Polito, your involvement here certainly goes beyond just designing the graphics for the posters and the brochures and the handouts and stuff for a full summer, and also volunteering to help, of course, with the actual packing on the day in question. But I had heard a rumor on the street that there were hopes that at some point this program might even be able to be expanded to more than once a year. Had you heard that rumor by chance?
Well, we've certainly talked about that, and for, you know, we don't have any lack of interest, that's for sure, in doing more events like this. I think that what's most important to us is that we provide Second Harvest with what they need the most. And so I think right now we're doing good with one event. I'd love to see us go in and do some other things, though, to create community awareness and give people other ways to support this important cause, because sometimes they're not in town on that Saturday, or they're just, you know, it's not the thing for them. But yeah, we'll hopefully we'll expand into some new things.
Becky Liner, I keep coming back to church. The You've been taking me to church now for how many years? but the biblical admonition on this, using this as an exercise of faith for those folks who do have a religious, a moral imperative on this, or folks who just want to do good, for humanitarian reasons and all. There is a lot of reasons to get involved in this thing.
Oh, there's so many. There's so many. Jesus said, "Feed my sheep." That's one thing. I think we all believe in that. But the other thing is, I think all of us realize before you can meet anyone's spiritual needs, you have to meet people's physical needs. And I do want to say though, it's not a church event. There's a lot of people of faith that are involved because they feel called to do this kind of service, but there are so many other people that have supported this and become involved in this, and we don't want it to be known as just a church event. We want it to be a community event. But certainly the people of, St. John's and First Baptist, and there's numerous small churches who send us teams of people. And there was one lovely group of young people that showed up with some chaperones from a church last year, showed up the day of the event, and they just wanted to help. They heard about it, and they just wanted to come help. And, I think that's really how everybody that's involved feels. They just want to help. But, Tom, one thing I wanted to kind of an update since we were here last year is we are so committed to this project, and the community has shown its commitment to the project, that a full summer is actually now a 501c3, officially recognized nonprofit organization. We have the papers to prove it.
Oh, so, my gosh. Well, that is a big advantage for the for the organization,
yes,
too.
Yes, and so that's just happened since the event last year.
So, well, that means we're serious about this. Boy, when you get that status, that's...
Yes, so. Yes.
Donations are tax deductible, and that's an important part of that.
Yes.
That is absolutely right. But besides being tax deductible, again, I'm thinking loaves and fishes. This just reminds me of that incredibly, Laurie, that how you take this little bit and leverage it, and it grows and it grows, and suddenly you're going, where did these 60,000 meals come from?
Well, being raised in the South, I think, at least for me, and I'm betting I'm speaking for the people around this table, when someone was sick, when they had a baby, anything, you would bring them food. And I think so many of us associate love and food. And so this is our way of everyone that's involved in this to say, we love our neighbors. We love you so much. We want to feed you. I think Jesus did that. There's so many instances where Jesus is feeding people the loaves and fishes, all of this. I think we are called to take care of one another. And the most basic need is the hunger. As Jim said, children can't study. They can't concentrate. They act out. So if we can get that basic need taken care of, then as Becky said, we can work on the higher level needs, education, spiritual growth. All of that comes after we take care of that basic need to be fed.
Okay. No, go ahead.
I'll just say we can feed people in other ways if we feed them.
You feed them that way.
Yes.
Yeah, you got to take care of first things first. As it is. Jim Creto, what do you think? There's no magic bullet. There's no, miracle manna from heaven here. But what do you think it's going to take to at least reduce this ongoing need in the community?
Well, clearly, the economic opportunity is important. The discussion about hunger has to be tied to the discussion of poverty and job opportunities, job training. One of the strategies that we have for providing food, but also to try and shorten the line, so to speak, is our mobile pantries. We'll fill a truck with 10,000 pounds of food, take it to a location. This Saturday, it'll be out at the old Harvey's on West Tennessee Street. And volunteers from a church faith-based group or another group will help distribute the food. There'll be 200 people there, but we'll ask other agencies such as Career Source, community health centers, and other folks to also participate so that they can provide other kinds of services that will help connect people with the opportunities to move a little bit further up the ladder and to try and move out of poverty. Many of the folks who show up are homeless, dealing with issues there, or they're in between jobs living with family members and be able to get housing information. Job information is important. So that collaborative nature where food is the draw and the idea of getting other agencies involved is really important to the model that we're trying to use to shorten that line.
Kind of figuratively, we gather everyone around the table and talk about it, right?
Exactly. Last Saturday at the Bond Neighborhood Clinic, they had a Women's Day, and we brought a truckload of vegetables as they talked about nutritious eating and did some sample cooking for folks. And, you know, it was a great partnership that that really supported the work they're trying to do, as well as enhancing the goals that we all share, which is to have healthy people contributing to the community rather than taking from the community.
And seeing as how we don't have a whole bunch of corporate headquarters in this town, we do have an awful lot of advocacy groups and lobbying offices and all of that. And I'm just wondering if any of them are looking for something to connect to in the community that would, you know, certainly burnish their image, you know, polish their star status and help you guys out. Is that a possibility too? Not saying that there are those who don't, but, you know, you could use a few more, I'm sure.
Yes, and some of the local law firms. Lori's husband's firm is one that supports us as well. Actually, we're going to do an initiative with Feeding Florida, the state association, called Legal Feeding Frenzy next fall, where we're going to pit the law firms and lobbyists against one another to see who can raise the most funds to provide food for all our food pantries across the state, all our food banks. And we think that's a way of tackling that. This community depends on individual contributions because we don't have the big businesses. You know, the Jacksonville Jaguars owner made a big contribution to the food bank here. We don't have that luxury. But we do have a very committed community that really supports us with the $5, $10, $20 checks a month that really make a difference. And the support that they get for the full summer are small donations that add up to allow them to do what they do.
Gosh, I'm just thinking a shootout on Monroe Street between Brian Ballard and Ron Book. Would that not be awesome or what? Who could donate the most to Second Harvest of the Big Bend or a full summer? That would be, whoa, that's like a cage death match. I don't know, guys. Anyway, we want to get in the few moments we have remaining, again, a plug for any group or individual who wants to be involved with this that's coming up, again, Saturday, June 4th at Godby High School out on West Tharp Street, the location for this year's a full summer packathon. Laurie, did you just go on website?
If the website, www.afullsummer.org, or they can call 893-0602 if they've got questions about what a full summer is all about and how they can get involved. And I will say, we have high school students from Gobby that are going to help us pack on Friday or unpack the truck. But if you have a responsible teenager that would like some Bright Futures credits, I always have Bright Futures forms out there. These kids can get their credits toward going to school. And it's a wonderful opportunity if you, like I, and I know Becky and Tracy as well, want your kids to be exposed to doing good and to instill into that attribute into them so that they take it into their adult life.
Yeah, because it really is a fun event. And Tracy, I see a lot of kids who tag along with their parents during the full summer packathons, and there's stuff for them to do, too. I notice they're not just letting them run around crazy. But
oh, no, absolutely. I mean, we've got some very young packers who come, and as long as they're ready to work, which they always are, we can get them a stool if they can't see high enough to pack that rice in there. And what's also neat about that is at the same table we'll see some of our young at heart packers. And it's just great to see them working side by side, young people and older folks and everybody in between. And there's something for everybody to do. It is not taxing. It's not difficult, but it's very meaningful and it's very important and it's very rewarding.
Also a good opportunity to practice whether it's a Zumba dancing, the electric slide, or reggae.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you can shake a leg during these days as well.
We have a great DJ and we have a good time.
Okay, some final thoughts, Becky Liner. What do you think?
You know, I was just sitting here thinking, we pride ourselves here in Tallahassee. We're known as the most highly educated community in the state of Florida. And yet, you know, some of the statistics that Jim gives us, we have one of the highest statistics of hunger and poverty. And the conflict between those two is a little stunning to me. And events like this, I think, help bridge that gap. And our hope is that the people of Tallahassee would come together. We're all proud of our community come together to address this most basic need among some of our youngest citizens here in our county.
Well, once again, mention that website here, which is fullsummer.org, for more information, or to sign up yourself or your group to help out, coming up on June 4th at Godby High School. Laurie Messer, Jim Croteau, Becky Liner, and, of course, Tracy Ippolito. Thank you all for coming in for Perspectives today. And we'll see you at Godby on June 4th, okay?
Thank you,
Tom. Thanks, Jim.
Thanks for having us.
Perspectives produced by WFSU-FM in Tallahassee. Taylor Cox and Lydell Rawls doing all the technical stuff behind the glass today. And I'm Tom Flanagan. Hey, we're coming up on the anniversary of the Tallahassee bus boycott. Remember that crucial crossroads event in the struggle for equal rights and opportunity? We'll remember those times and talk about how it influences what's going on today, next week, right here on Perspectives. Join us then, please.
Audio copies of Perspectives are available by calling 1-800-829-8809. Log on to WFSU.org for online archives and podcast. Perspectives is a production of 88.9 WFSU-FM, Tallahassee.